Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, talknation.org for news and discussion on international affairs. David Swanson joins us today to talk about the increasing debate about bringing U.S. troops home from Iraq. David Swanson is co-founder of the After Downing Street Coalition. He was press secretary for the Dennis Kucinich for President campaign and is Washington director of Democrats.com, a board member of Progressive Democrats of America, and Washington director of Impeach PAC. On the website of afterdowningstreet.org, you will find early analysis of a document the Bush administration has just released calling for our national strategy for victory in Iraq. David Swanson describes the document as a public relations document, part of a strategy to describe what has happened in Iraq to date as a resounding success while refusing to establish any standards for accountability. David Swanson, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start right in with the president's recent disclosure that he's going to be bringing U.S. troops home from Iraq. Debunk the myth.
Well, it's not clear that he is. You know, after 2.5 years of this and over 2,100 U.S. troops dead and as many as 100,000 Iraqis dead, the president has decided he needs a plan. And he's released this plan, a national strategy for victory in Iraq, but there are no clear measurements in it. There's no clear indication of what victory would be, how we measure it, when it will occur, and how we will get there. It's just not a plan, and it does not have dates in it. It does not have numbers in it, and there's no reason to believe much has changed in the White House strategy.
The latest polls show that Iraqis, when asked about the presence of coalition troops, 82% would like them to leave. The president has been running between 60-65% of the American people don't trust him on Iraq, and his approval ratings are just tanking. So when the White House and President Bush, Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State, or the Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld begin to talk about our national strategy for victory in Iraq, who are they really speaking for at this point?
Well, it may be they're speaking for the military contractors who have been outed recently as buying mansions and Rolls Royce for Republican Congress members. I'm not sure who else they would be speaking for. As you note, the public here and in Iraq wants this war over. And so if we're talking about bringing democracy to Iraq, we're talking out both sides of our mouths, because as a democracy, the United States wants the war ended, and the people of Iraq want the war ended. And so Donald Rumsfeld is talking about great increases in Iraqi security forces that will allow U.S. forces gradually pull out. But he's been talking that line for over 2 years, and we've not seen any real indications that that's the case. And he ignores the glaring problems that many of the Iraqi forces that are in Iraq are engaged in murdering Sunnis in Iraq. And so, and the same goes for this plan that the White House has released today. There's no mention in it of the problems that are ongoing in Iraq, the murders and the deaths and the ongoing resistance to the occupation. So it's disturbing. I think that the White House might have been better off saying nothing than saying what the president is saying today. I don't think it's going to help them. The proposals that they're making and the proposals that the more right-leaning Democrats are making are not any substantive change. They're bringing back 20,000-30,000 troops that were put in extra and making a big deal out of bringing them back. Well, there was quite silence about adding them in, and so it's not a serious proposal, and it's not what the American public and the Iraqi public are demanding, which is a complete end to the occupation. Not gradually over the next 2 years reducing the U.S. troop size to what we were told it was going to be to begin with, but rather completely ending the occupation. resolution abandoning the permanent military bases that are being built and declaring that Iraq's resources, notably the oil, belong to Iraq. If we can't do that, then this is just PR. It's not a peace plan. And so this war has made the world and the United States much less safe than we were, and created a breeding ground for terrorists. But the first step in changing that is for the U.S. to pull out, to end the occupation, which will end the insurgency against the occupation. And Iraq will not suddenly be a paradise, but it will be able to move forward, and currently it's not. And the way that we're going to end this may be through Congress cutting off the money, but it also may be through ending the military's ability to recruit, because while, as we've said, they have a huge number of troops over there and are very reluctant to reduce it in any significant way, they are having a very, very difficult time recruiting the numbers of troops from the U.S. to maintain that level.
Now, David Swanson, tell us, too, about what has been going on behind the scenes within the progressive Democratic community that you're in touch with in the wake of Representative Murtha's very strong remarks about the need for a withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq.
Well, there are those who have concerns over the precise wording of Murtha's bill, in that it calls for leaving some small force behind or close to Iraq, and it's not as specific and detailed as some other bills that are before the House of Representatives now. But the fact that he is traditionally a supporter of wars, who has turned against this particular war, means that he is someone that the national media pays attention to, that other hawkish Democrats and moderate Republicans pay attention to. And so his statement and the media around it gave a big boost to the effort to end the war. And so, more power to him. It's terrific. It would be nice if those Congress members who have opposed the war since before it began and who offer some expertise on what is wrong with wars and what is wrong with the system we have in which military contractors have such power in Washington, it would be nice if they were heard from as well. But Murtha's bill is one that most peace groups are promoting, as well as a couple of other pieces of legislation. Jim McGovern from Massachusetts has a bill that would end funding for the war and would provide funding only for the safe and orderly withdrawal of our troops and for diplomatic efforts and financial assistance to an international force. So that is an excellent piece of legislation as well. And Barbara Lee, Congresswoman from California, has a bill that would simply make it the U.S. policy not to keep permanent military bases in Iraq, which is something that Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld and President Bush have stated is our policy. But we are clearly building permanent military bases in Iraq, and not a single Republican has signed on to Congresswoman Lee's bill. So that tells you something. There's also an effort in the House to act on what's called a discharge petition, on a bill that would begin to end the occupation late next year. This is a bill from a bipartisan bill from Congressmen Abercrombie and Jones, and a discharge petition means that you collect a majority of signatures in the House and force a debate on the floor of the full House rather than in committee, because many, many good pieces of legislation in this effort to end the war and to hold accountable those who lied about it beforehand have been killed in committee. And so we're promoting that as well. And information about all of these is available at afterdowningstreet.org.
Let's take a look at what could happen
if 20 to 30,000 soldiers are withdrawn, if U.S. soldiers start to move out, perhaps, of some of the cities and the regions that they're in right now occupying, would it be possible, as Seymour Hersh has suggested, that the U.S. military might turn to a new level of an air war?
Well, Seymour Hersh has a good record of having good sources, and he says that that is being planned in the Pentagon, and so we have to take that very seriously. And given the Bush administration's documented utter disregard for the value of civilian life, there is certainly the possibility that the U.S. will withdraw troops and increase bombings. Information has come out fairly recently about the U.S. use of white phosphorus as a chemical weapon in attacking Fallujah. There is absolute disregard for the value of life, and so that may very well be part of the plan.
Let's include in our discussion the more recent information on afterdowningstreet.org about the attacks that were suggested by the president on Al Jazeera.
Well, it's interesting. We have not seen the memo or the pair of memos, but it's been reported by credible sources in the United Kingdom that President Bush very much wanted to bomb the Al Jazeera headquarters in Iraq, and that Prime Minister Tony Blair had to talk him out of it. And if you look back at the period of time when that was said to be occurring, there were all kinds of verbal attacks on Al Jazeera from the Bush administration in the media, and Donald Rumsfeld was denouncing Al Jazeera as aiding the terrorists. And if you look at the record, there have been over a dozen attacks on the media by U.S. military forces in Iraq, including a rocket that killed an Al Jazeera reporter. And so it's entirely credible that that was going on. And when you look at the unprecedented crackdown on free speech in the United Kingdom right now, where no media outlet is allowed to report on the contents of these memos, which speak to something that's years old, that presumably is not of vital importance to current national security, you have to assume that the Bush administration is behind that crackdown. And if you look at today's Los Angeles Times, at the reports on U.S. soldiers in Iraq writing stories and quietly slipping them in with payment to the Iraqi press, you see two new documented examples of an extensive campaign to control information and distort the reporting of information here and abroad by the U.S. media. You know, if it weren't for British whistleblowers, I don't know where we would be, and we call ourselves a democracy.
And now what we're seeing is an increase in the level of emotionalism that the American people have toward bringing the troops home. This is something, too, that Representative Murtha has acknowledged. He says, quote, "I've never seen such an outpouring in the 32 years I've been in Congress of support, and people with tears in their eyes walking along clapping when I'm walking through the halls of Congress, saying something needed to be said."
Yeah, something did need to be said. It still needs to be said, and there are those on both sides of Congress who are still refusing to say it. Murtha's office on that first day when he made that announcement was telling us that they'd gotten 1,600 phone calls, 1,300 of them positive. So there was an outpouring of support for him having had the nerve to say what most of the public already knows is true, according to the media's own polls. And so there is tremendous passion among the public. I mean, the war remains the top issue of concern to voters, and the majority of them want it ended either now or within the next year. And, if you look at Congress, Congress is dragging behind the American people. There are leaders. There is an out-of-Iraq caucus in Congress led by Congresswoman Maxine Waters with about 70 members now in it. And yet you have Democrats like Hillary Clinton and Joe Lieberman taking an extremely different position. You have the nominal leaders of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, willing to take certain steps, but not quite. You know, they to put out statements supporting Murtha, but not actually agreeing with him. And on the Republican side, you have the beginning of defections. You know, you have a half dozen members who have voted in committees for Democratic proposals to investigate the lies or to begin to plan an end for the war. And so it's an interesting situation in which Congress is slowly beginning to move in the direction of where the public is, but it's very uncertain. And you have the Republican Party drastically losing the support of the American public. You have studies showing that the president's unpopularity cost the Republican candidates the governorships in New Jersey and Virginia, and you have the Democratic Party still refusing to take that opportunity that's lying in front of it and declare clear opposition to the war and win the support of the public. And you have a majority of the public, according to polls, wanting Bush and Cheney impeached for their lies that launched this war, and you have not a single Congress member, Democrat or Republican, willing to utter the I word. And, you know, there are numerous challengers who will be running next year against Republicans and against incumbent Democrats who are supporting immediate impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And if you've been to any forums or meetings recently on this topic where that particular element has come up, nothing lights up a room and leads to endless standing ovations than expressing a willingness to impeach the president.
And looking at your website, afterdowningstreet.org, what we see are several points made as talking points. Two of them are said to be impeachable offenses: deciding to deceive and mislead Congress and the American people with false claims about weapons of mass destruction and ties between Hussein and 9/11, and then secretly diverting $700 million from the war in Afghanistan to start bombing Iraq to provoke a war. Let's just talk about the level of deceit. And we've seen a lot of criminality exposed, corruption at the highest levels. There are investigations ongoing. Some people are resigning. Where do we stand in the exposing of how corrupt this administration is? And why isn't that helping the Democrats to put more fire in their talk about what needs to happen next?
Well, it's helping some Democrats. You know, there are 60 or 70 or 80 Democrats who are pretty darn good on this and a lot of other issues. But it's not helping all of them. And you have Senator Lieberman writing in the Wall Street Journal that the war must go on and just not understanding where the American public is, much less the base of the Democratic Party, of which 80% would like the president impeached for this war. It's interesting that the document that came out today about victory in Iraq said nothing about removing weapons of mass destruction or about ties to 9/11. But if you go back to the letter that the president sent to Congress on March 18th, 2003, explaining, as required by law, why it was necessary to go to war, there were two reasons in there, only two reasons, and they were the alleged weapons of mass destruction and the ties to 9/11, both of which were known by the president at that time to be false. And that is lying to Congress, and that is a felony under more than one statute, and that is the highest crime imaginable. So impeachment, you know, was drastically trivialized under President Clinton, but to be unwilling to talk about impeachment when there is the strongest evidence that the highest crime possible has been committed really means taking impeachment out of the Constitution from here forward. If we can't use it now, we never will. And so the evidence is overwhelming. You know, the Downing Street memos that came out were interesting because they were so frank and so open. We were never supposed to see the minutes of that meeting, and because it was such an authoritative source. But the evidence has just piled up that the president, quote, knowingly lied. You know, we're now being told by Republican sympathizers that he's not really accountable because he's too dim-witted. He didn't know he was lying. And yet, we know that he did. We know that within 10 days after the 9/11 attacks, he was informed that Iraq had nothing to do with it. We know that he went to meetings and demanded stronger evidence that Iraq had something to do with it and complained that the evidence wasn't strong enough, but then went out on national television and stated as an absolute certainty that all of these things were true, that 9/11 was connected to Iraq, that Iraq had nuclear weapons, that Iraq had chemical and biological weapons, and so forth. And right down the line, each of these claims was known at the time to be false. The aluminum tubes were denounced by the Department of Energy and by the International Atomic Energy Agency. The source on the biological and chemical weapons was denounced by the German intelligence agents who were speaking to him as completely unreliable. You know, each claim was known to be false, and this group in the White House, the White House Iraq group, was put together to market those claims regardless. And there can be no greater affront to democracy than that, than consciously selling the public a war on the basis of fraudulent claims.
When it comes to the November election, do you feel that the Republicans really do have something to worry about?
Well, the Republicans are worried and they are scared, and you see Republican Congress members edging away from Bush, and you saw the gubernatorial candidate in Virginia refuse to appear at events in Virginia with Bush and then ultimately be forced to just prior to the election, and you see the results in the studies and the polls showing that Bush's unpopularity cost the Republican Party the governor's seat in Virginia and New Jersey. And you see polls showing you that a generic Democrat, an average Democrat, is more popular to people in congressional races than an average Republican. The problem with that is that, you know, that's almost always the case. You know, it's increasing now, but real, actual, specific Democrats never do as well as the average Democrat because, this is my interpretation, but I think because people see that as an alternative to the Republicans. You know, anyone but Bush will vote for a Democrat. But then when they look at a specific Democrat and half of the positions that he or she espouses are the same as the Republican, it doesn't amount to as much. So, you know, the fear that I have and many have is that strategists will look at the elections of the past year and say, well, you know, the Democrats did well in California and Virginia and New Jersey by keeping quiet, by avoiding controversial topics, and letting the Republicans destroy themselves. And that will not work. That will not work in 2006 to win a majority in Congress, because these are federal elections, because the top issue on people's minds is the war, and because the Republican is going to, in each and every case, win the war vote. So if people support the war, they're not going to vote for the Democrat. If people oppose the war, they're going to stay home unless there is a candidate who clearly opposes the war. And this is what happened in the presidential election last year. People stayed home who opposed the war because they had a choice between two pro-war candidates. And so the door is wide open for the Democrats. The Republicans are destroying themselves. But the idea that the Democrats will have a majority in 2007 because they sit quiet and say nothing and avoid controversial topics is just not going to happen. And if that's the approach the Democrats try, I'm afraid we will continue to have a Republican majority in both houses of Congress. And that's sad because there are steps that the public wants taken now that the Democrats, the most progressive, the most courageous Democrats in the House of Representatives, are saying they will try in 2007, notably impeachment. You know, there are numerous candidates out there who've launched campaigns for Congress in 2006 who are openly and adamantly for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And when you ask the leaders of the progressive Democrats in Congress now, why are you not introducing articles of impeachment when we've been taken to war on the basis of lies, they say, well, we'll do that in 2007 when we have the majority. Well, unless they tell people now what they're going to do, people don't have a reason to vote them into a majority and probably won't.
Talk a little bit about what some of the most important efforts are going to be for AfterDowningStreet.org and for the progressive Democrats. What kinds of things are you urging people to do?
Well, one is to hold events, and we're asking everyone to get organized and hold a public meeting, a town hall forum on ending the war. And we're asking as many groups as possible to do this on January 7th, which is a Saturday, and it's a day when Congress members will be in their districts rather than in Washington. They're likely to be home the first half of January. And we're asking people to invite their Congress members to either host or to be a guest at these forums. And there is a system set up on the AfterDowningStreet.org website. If you go to afterdowningstreet.org/event, where you can either sign up for an event in your area that's already posted there, or you can post one yourself and help organize it. And the organizations that are helping in this effort and asking their members to do this is a pretty lengthy list. I won't try to read it all, but includes United for Peace and Justice, Progressive Democrats of America, the Backbone Campaign, the Gold Star Families for Peace, etc. And so that's one concrete action that people can take to try to make a lot of noise in the beginning of January about the public demand to end this war before Congress goes back into session, is to hold this public event and invite the media. In addition, there are a number of resolutions in Congress, including the discharge petition on one bill, that we want people to be emailing and phoning their Congress members and asking them to support. And that information is on the After Downing Street website. And along those lines, on the 6th of December, which is next Tuesday, and this is pretty unprecedented that this many groups get together, United for Peace and Justice and Win Without War, which are the two biggest coalitions, and numerous other peace organizations are asking everyone to phone Congress and ask to end the war. It's a very simple message, end the war in Iraq. And next Tuesday is when Congress finally gets back from Thanksgiving. They got a little more time off than the rest of us. But on Tuesday, they get back to Washington, and all of these organizations, if you're on any email list of any peace organization, you will get an email early Tuesday morning asking you to phone Congress that day. And if we can completely flood them, they won't be able to do anything else that day but think about ending the war.
David Swanson, thanks so much for joining us on Talk Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me.
David Swanson is co-founder of the After Downing Street Coalition. He was press secretary for the Dennis Kucinich for President campaign and is Washington director of Democrats.com and Washington director of Impeach PAC. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program was produced in the studios of WHUS Stores. TalkNation.org for transcripts and discussion.